Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Finnish-born, Montreal-based jazz singer and composer Saku Montri and Finland-based arranger and conductor Jussi Lamplu. Together, they open up about their new 2022 CD, Upon First Impression, and this is his debut album. The music was composed and recorded in both Finland and Canada with a cast of some of the finest musicians from both countries. It's a masterful work about heartbreak and a life divided between two places. It's an album that needed time for the fermentation process to mature. Both of them open up fully about this project, COVID, their relationship, Kansas City, and so much more. Enjoy this interview.
So I'm going to introduce you to my friend Jussi Lamplu.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm sitting here with Saku in the sunny Montreal today. Everything's
fine.
Oh,
yeah. Cool. Yeah, I always hear good things about Montreal.
Oh, good to hear. This is my first time here. I flew in for the concert here in Montreal we have tomorrow.
Where are you from?
I'm from Helsinki, Finland, originally. So.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, thank you for taking a minute out, and what I want to do is talk to you about the new CD, Upon First Impression. But before we get to the album, tell me how you survived COVID. It was quite a 2 years on Earth. You know, a lot of shows shut down, as you very well know. It was tumultuous for, you know, musicians. So tell me how you survived that time period now that we're coming out of it.
Yeah, so it's funny. I made a lot of music. So, you know, I combine music making with a day job. And for me, you know, I'm a professor at the university. So I was basically locked down at home and I was teaching through Zoom. So I had a lot of time on my hands to work on music. So I made an album. That's how I survived COVID. I also wrote a string quartet. So that was me. How about you, Jussi?
So same things. I concentrated on composing. So period was quite a strange one, but luckily it also had some silver linings to it, like being able to concentrate on composing something for myself maybe more than before with the help of some grants that were available, luckily, as well.
So having an album come out right now has to feel good. What does this release mean for you?
Well, this is my first album, so it's a dream come true. And it's I guess that I've been working with music for quite a long time, but it has taken me a while to kind of realize this dream. And you know, the first step that I did was I contacted my old friend Jussi, who's sitting with me here, to kind of then realize that dream. So I'd been writing music, I'd been doing some arrangements of some pop tunes and jazz tunes, and I asked him to join me in realizing it. So he wrote these beautiful charts.
So talk to me a little bit about how you two hooked up. You know, you're in Montreal. You know, he's in Finland. How did all of this musically come together?
Well, we went to primary school together. I'm actually from Helsinki, Finland, originally as well. I've been in Montreal for almost 9 years now. But that's where I was born and raised, and sort of I think we met each other when we were around sort of 10. Jussi's a bit older than I am, but I remember him sitting in a school's back room playing the guitar. He's a great guitar player. He was playing a Joe Satriani piece called Satch Boogie, which is from Joe Satriani's first first solo album, and he just blew me away. So that's my first memory of Jussi, and we've been friends ever since.
So talk to me a little bit, you know, this is, you know, your initial release. It's a big deal. It's kind of your introduction into the world of, you know, jazz and music. What does this release mean? What are you hoping the listener will get from this to leave a solid imprint on their mind for you?
You know, this is probably very naive, but I just want to get the music out there. So it's a wonderful feeling when I get to communicate that way, it's interesting, you know, that there's no other medium to communicate emotion and something about your authentic self than through music that I know, or through arts perhaps, you know, more generally, but music is really my medium. So it's for me, it's all about getting those songs out there, you know, however naive that might sound to you.
Why does it work so well with you two? What is it about, you know, even going back to when, you know, you started playing together all the way up to this first album? Why does this union of you two as musicians together make sense?
Well, I'm going to ask Jussi next, but, you know, for me, it makes sense because he's a professional. He can do anything. And for me, that's very easy. So I can communicate my ideas to him, send my demos to him, you know, send him a chord chart and a lead sheet, and he'll just translate it into this sort of beautiful musical world. So, you know, for me, it's very, very easy. But I don't know, Jussi, what works for you?
Well, I'm used to working with clients having different requirements, but working with a close friend is always a different thing, and it's easy to communicate with the person surely you've known for a long while, and it all happens via Zoom since we're a distance apart anyway. But yeah, I thought it was really easy because I've had to confront quite a demanding customers at times, so having a friend as a customer also, it's an added benefit, I'd say.
And also maybe to add to that, sort of, I think what I really, my vision for this album is that so I, basically my two favorite composers in this world are Coltrane and Bach, and Jussi is capable of channeling both. So I had these songs, and I wanted to hear counterpoint, I wanted to hear sophistication and passion in the same package. And I knew that he could do that from his earlier work.
Well, and that's a great lead into this question. You talk about two separate ends of the music paradigm, and I'm curious about both of you respectively. How did you guys get into music initially, and how did it become jazz? You know, being from Finland and having the music culture that you come from, how did that happen?
I'm going to let you see do this first.
All right. Well, of course, it's quite a distance coming from the original Afro-American centric world of jazz, and as a Scandinavian person, it's a tough one. But I always loved the old, very old tradition of jazz, starting from the New Orleans tradition. I've been long a fan of that, and luckily got to work with some New Orleans musicians as well. It has the kind of the rawness of the early jazz speaks to me in volumes, I'd say.
And for me, I think it's actually sort of great that we're talking to somebody, you know, from Kansas City, which had the great, I guess, the Count Basie tradition, and it's one of the great jazz cities of the world. Helsinki nowadays is a jazz city, so it's adopted the tradition in its own way. But for my entry point into music was through rock music. I played progressive rock, and sort of gradually sort of from that to fusion, and then to Miles Davis and Coltrane. Kind of, you know, opposite of what Jussi was describing. For me, it was kind of working from kind of the more contemporary forms of jazz, you know, earlier into the history. Into them, then Coltrane and Miles Davis and Bill Evans and all these great jazz musicians. Kind of, you know, I guess in some sense, you know, increasing the sophistication of the music in some ways.
Let's do this now. Let's say tomorrow morning you guys get a phone call and you get a promoter from Kansas City that says, come to Kansas City, and as you mentioned, being one of the original cradles. What would that mean for you to be able to come to Kansas City? What would you do here? What would it be that you would love to do in Kansas City if you made that trip?
That's interesting. I have traveled in the U.S. quite a bit, but Kansas City isn't one of the places which I've really visited. I have to say that I haven't really done my homework on what I would do. I'm sort of thinking back of the great jazz documentary series that was on PBS. That I watched and I sort of remember all those scenes from, you know, that showed the early history of Count Basie in particular. But yeah, I guess I'd sort of Count Basie would be for me the kind of the beacon that I would follow in trying to figure out. How about you, Justi?
Not too much to add to that, but also the early Charlie Parker memories come to mind, but for sure Count Basie is an inspiration for me as well.
So I guess the other part of that is that if you come here, you guys are going to perform live, and you kind of have to promote the show. You have to convince, because Kansas City's got a pretty good scene here, and we got a number of clubs, a number of acts that come in from out of town. So kind of pitch to me right now how you would present this album and how you would present yourself live so that people would fill the seats and watch you come in here and put it down.
Yeah, okay. So that's a good question, sort of, you know, to pitch in a little bit of a pitching context or Shark Tank. I don't know, man. I think I can only say that, you know, come here, a sort of middle-aged, divorced white guy, you know, talk about his feelings. So, you know, how compelling is that going to be? So that's the original. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a divorce album of a middle-aged sort of, you know, middle-class white guy. So, you know, does that speak to somebody? I hope it does. And sort of the only thing that we can be is authentic in that sense. I'm not much of a self-promoter that way. But, you know, it's been gratifying to kind of sense that people do resonate with that experience. So, you know, the people who've heard the album, you know, it touches them somehow. But as I said, this is a very, very naive project for me. It's very, very innocent.
From what I hear from a lot of musicians, because I'm not one myself, but I think I have a decent understanding of how this works. You know, it always seems like when you're putting out an album, you've already began work on another one. And it would seem that the follow-up, the sophomore release, is always that one where it's like, all right, are we going to fall into line with what we originally put out? How are we going to do this? Have you already started working on the next album, thought about the next album? Where are you at right now?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question, and you're absolutely right. So there's, and I actually am facing a bit of a crossroads because I've been writing to strings myself. So I've sort of been writing these sort of more elaborate pieces as well as new jazz tunes. So I have a bunch of jazz tunes, a couple of sort of, I've written lyrics to a couple of standards that don't have lyrics to my knowledge. For instance, there's a Clifford Brown piece called Dawood, which I really love, and a Monk piece called Brilliant Corners. And I don't think singers have yet sung those. So, you know, I've written lyrics to those. So there's a, you know, kind of this creative play that's going on. So probably there would be material for our next album, and if you could approach it in different ways. And it's also that there's this funny moment that there's a point in time where there's actually a surprising amount of bureaucracy in sort of, you know, getting an album published, getting all the licensing rights and everything, setting everything up, organizing everything. And you kind of get impatient that, hey, I've already done this, that let me do the next thing. But what's really gratifying is that after you do all that admin work, you notice that the album gets out there and it starts gaining, you know, a life of its own. That is, it's big, you know, you're actually not bored with the material that you've done so many times when people start really receiving it. So I really am, at this moment, I'm in a place where I'm really excited to launch this, first here in Montreal, then in Helsinki a couple of weeks later, where we're doing it with Finnish musicians then, who also played on the album. But yeah, absolutely, there's going to be a next one. My current concept for it is that I think that I'd like to make another one of this kind, you know, with a relatively similar concept, and then the third one might be then a point of departure. I'm thinking of my childhood favorite heavy metal band Kiss, who made two albums, you know, that were pretty similar, and then they made a third one which was a little bit different. Are you a Kiss fan yourself, Joe? How do you, you know, did you remember the Kiss when you were growing up?
Oh man, you know, I actually saw them in my 20s. Back in the 90s, they came through, and I remember when I was a kid, they sold the cards, and Gene Simmons freaked me out, and I thought, like, some weird satanic thing was going to float through the card into my bones. You know, he had all that, like, there was one where he had so much blood on him, I was like, did he kill something? Like, I really thought that he was a murderer. And, you know, so anyway, so I ended up seeing him in the 90s, and he did that thing where his wings came out, the pyrotechnics, and they threw him up in the air, and it was like everything in my life that I had known about rock and roll, Detroit Rock City, came clashing in. It was so much fun, man. In fact, the guy I was with was like a real, like, square dude, and I was working at a healthcare consulting place, so he was like, dude, you need to take these, and gave me earplugs. So I put them in because it was so loud. Anyway, yeah, so I've been baptized in Kiss for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, the first two albums they made, the, you know, the album called Kiss, then that was Hotter Than Hell, and those were, for me, always a little bit similar. And then there was Dressed to Kill, which had Rock and Roll All Night, so I think they changed style a little bit, so maybe that's a template. So, you know, the second album, for me, it seems that I somehow still need to consolidate this concept, and then the third one. I'm an electric guitar player, so there's very little guitar on this one, and probably won't be a lot on the next one. But, you know, I'm also kind of envisioning that maybe there should be some distorted guitar somewhere, and maybe some more free stuff, and then some stuff for the strings and so on. But maybe for the third one, then.
You know, it's interesting how bands evolve, because now I remember you kind of opened up Pandora's box. My very first concert when I was a kid was when they did Animalize, which was with no makeup and a little bit more
skin. Yeah.
And it's weird how they went through so many incarnations, but it's also strange to me now that they haven't released material in so long, but they're more popular than ever, and they're actually on their final world tour right now. So it's interesting how bands, you know, manifest and become who they are.
It seems to me that we're very similar in age, because Animalize was my first Kiss album as well. Heavens on Fire.
Wow. Yeah.
And the video, for us, you know, pre-teenage boy was also sort of somewhat, well, let's not go in there. That's the true Pandora's box. But anyway.
That's the rabbit hole. Yeah. And the weird thing is that no makeup period didn't last long. No one liked it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it just didn't go over that well. So, gentlemen, I appreciate you taking time out. I really do. The cover of this is very cool, too. Very hip.
Yeah, that's actually, I'm going to mention that it's a contemporary Finnish painter, a young painter called Titus Petäjäniemi, who I own the painting. I've owned the painting for a long time, so it's been on my wall for like 10 years. And I that was a part of the concept. It's called The Modern Man. So it's basically, it depicts a face that has been fragmented into bits. So it's about, well, it's a divorce album. It's a kind of a certain kind of coming of age album. So I think it fits it very well. And Titus actually did all the design for the album and also took the picture and so on.
Before we depart, let everybody know where the best place is for them to pick the album up, to learn about shows, anything going on with promotion and the album.
All right, so I have a website, sakumantra.ca, which, you know, compiles all of this. I think that my Bandcamp page is going to be the place to access the album. And then it's going to be in all of the streaming platforms. And I, you know, you'll see she's picking up a copy. I have like a, you know, boxes here. So, you know, we haven't figured out distribution that well. But I guess sort of, you know, streaming is the way that people access music for the most part. And everything, you know, can be found on my website, sakumantra.ca.
Wonderful. Gentlemen, thank you for opening up, taking time out. Good luck with everything.
Yeah, and thanks, Joe, for everything that you do for the music. It's important work.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to yet another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Finland, Montreal, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to both of these very accomplished musicians for talking to me from Montreal and for their time and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.